Beloved, welcome to worship here at St. Stephen's on this, the fourth Sunday in Lent. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please hear these words from Psalm 139. Examine me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and discover my thoughts, and lead me in the way everlasting. Would you say with me the call to worship? Come, faithful people, and find that quiet center where God may enter in. We gather as God's people, hungry for holy presence, ready for God's word to us. Let us worship God. And let us light our candles together that draws our focus to Christ, who is the light of the world. Let's pray. Mighty, all-knowing God, we praise your mysterious ways. You are all-knowing, faithful, and steadfast. You see us as we really are, not as we see ourselves. As we come to this time of worship today, we pray that our ears are open to recognize your voice. Our eyes are open to see the ways you move in the lives of others and ourselves. Our hearts are open to receive and share the love we have from you. Then send us out to live and work in the world as your faithful disciples. In the blessed name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. God of promise and hope, you call us to trust in your way and set before us paths of faithfulness. Sometimes we hesitate to follow you and make changes in our lives. Sometimes our priorities and commitments reflect personal interests more than your desire for our lives and world. Free us, O God, that we might be faithful to you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Friends, in Psalm 32, the psalmist says, I let it all out. I said, I'll come clean about my failures to God. And suddenly the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared. I hope that sounds familiar, because really that is what we do every week as we confess together, my friends. We kind of let it all out. And that is what happens every week as we do that. Our guilt is gone, our sin disappears, and we are filled anew with a deep assurance of God's forgiveness and grace to us. This is the good news of our gospel. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from the first book of Samuel, and I'm reading in chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, and I'm reading from the Good News Bible. The Lord said to Samuel, How long will you go on grieving over Saul? I have rejected him as king of Israel. But now, get some olive oil and go to Bethlehem to a man named Jesse, because I have chosen one of his sons to be king. How can I do that? Samuel asked. If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. The Lord answered, Take a calf with you and say that you are there to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will tell you what to do. You will anoint the king, the man I tell you to. Samuel did what the Lord told him to do and went to Bethlehem, where the city leaders came trembling to meet him and asked, Is this a peaceful visit, seer? Yes, he answered. I have come to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me. He also told Jesse and his sons to purify themselves, and he invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Jesse's son Eliab and said to himself, This man standing here in the Lord's presence is surely the one he has chosen. But the Lord said to him, Pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him because I do not judge as people judge. They look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. Then Jesse called his son Abinadab and brought him to Samuel. But Samuel said, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen him either." Jesse then brought Shammah. "No, the Lord hasn't chosen him either," Samuel said. In this way, Jesse brought seven of his sons to Samuel, and Samuel said to him, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these." Then he asked him, "Do you have any more sons?" Jesse answered, "There is still the youngest, but he's out taking care of the sheep." "Tell him to come here," Samuel said. "We won't offer the sacrifice until he comes." So Jesse sent for him. He was a handsome, healthy young man, and his eyes sparkled. The Lord said to Samuel, "This is the one. Anoint him." Samuel took the olive oil and anointed David in front of his brothers. Immediately the Spirit of the Lord took control of David and was with him from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So here we are, fourth Sunday in Lent. And that means that you are more than halfway through this season. So if you are a person who has been taking up a Lenten practice or been fasting, given something up for Lent, good news for you, you're more than halfway there. So stick with it. It also means that we are now in the second half of this sermon series we're doing for Lent, exploring some of life's more universal challenges. We are thinking about the kinds of trials that tend to come along in life for all of us. And we've been considering how God might actually be inviting us to trust him more fully during times like these. Today's trial, today's challenge, what do we do when God isn't acting the way we expect him to? Or even more, the way we want him to? How can we trust God when he's not doing what we think he should do? That's our question. This story from our reading today is just one of many examples throughout Scripture of times when God acts in a pretty surprising way. It is the familiar story about the prophet Samuel anointing young David, a boy who would grow to become the great king Israel had been longing for. David is one of the Old Testament's best known characters, and this passage tells us the very beginning of his story. Now, a little background is helpful here. At the time that this happened, Israel actually still had a king, King Saul. But for various reasons, it had become clear that Saul was not going to be the kind of king God wanted for his people. And so God sent his prophet Samuel to find and anoint the person who would eventually replace Saul. That's what's going on in this reading. God has directed Samuel to go to Bethlehem to find the house of Jesse, to anoint one of Jesse's sons, the one that God had already chosen was going to be the next king. Well, as we heard, it's a pretty strange scene. All but one of Jesse's sons is brought before Samuel, and they were all impressive young men. But none of them was the one that God was looking for. As it turned out, God was calling the son that everyone had forgotten about, the youngest, David, who was at this point still just a boy. Samuel asks for David to be called in from the field where he was out doing his chores with the sheep. And when he appeared, God said to Samuel, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." Now, I have to say, kudos to Samuel, because he seems to have been able to restrain himself from saying what he must have been thinking, which was, "Really? Really, God? This one? This is who you're calling to be our next king?" David was a pretty unlikely choice. He was young, for starters, not yet a man, and certainly not a warrior. or so they would have thought at this point. He was inexperienced, and he didn't come from a powerful, influential family. He really didn't appear to have any of the qualifications you would expect that God would be looking for in a king. Now, we actually know how the story goes, don't we? We know that while David may have seemed like a strange choice at the time, he ended up being the right person for the job. And knowing how that all played out, it does help to increase our faith that God does know what he's doing, even when it doesn't always look like it. Hindsight really helps us to see this. But remember that the people that were there that day, they didn't have the benefit of hindsight. They had no idea how important David would come to be in God's greater story. Heavens, we don't even know if anybody but Samuel actually even knew what was happening in all of this. Remember, he had gathered them under the pretext that they were gathering for worship to make a sacrifice to God. It really seems like only Samuel knew that God was actually calling and anointing the next king. So much about this whole thing would have seemed strange to those who were involved, strange and potentially dangerous. After all, here is Samuel anointing the next king while the current king is still very much alive and on the throne. What Samuel was doing amounted to treason. That's why he was worried that Saul might kill him if word got out. It's safe to say that on the day that this all occurred, God wasn't just doing something unexpected. God was doing something that at the time made no sense whatsoever. God is actually like that sometimes. He acts in ways we never expect, and often in ways we can't understand. Now, I know that in my own life, I welcome God acting in unexpected ways. When it means that my struggles are eased, or even more, when it means that I get to expect some lovely and unanticipated blessings. But when it doesn't do that, or when God's actions or inaction seems to prolong or add to my trials, as this would have happened for David with this, well, then I just find myself questioning what God's doing. The biblical story shows us, excuse me, that God often doesn't act in the ways we might expect. This was true for Abraham on multiple occasions, having a son when he was 100 years old, and then being asked to be prepared to sacrifice that precious son. It was true for the Israelites multiple times throughout their history. God rescued them dramatically from slavery in Egypt, only to have them spend 40 years living a difficult nomadic life in the desert before they were able to finally enter the land of promise. And again, for the Israelites when Jerusalem fell, the temple was destroyed, and God's people were taken from the land that God had given them into exile in a foreign land. Very strange. And you know, the New Testament has plenty of its own examples of God continuing to act in ways that no one ever expected. Like when Christ called Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul, a man who had dedicated himself to stopping the movement Jesus began. Or for that matter, when Jesus called any of his first disciples, a more unlikely bunch you couldn't have put together. Ironically, God actually acts in unexpected ways so often, we almost really need to learn to expect it. As strange as that is. Now, as I said a few minutes ago, this is all well and good when God's surprising actions bring us good things. But it can be tough, really tough, when you're facing hard times. hoping and praying that God might relieve your difficulties, and then finding that he's not answering your prayers in the way that you hope. That's when our faith can really be stretched. Sometimes when God is acting in unexpected ways, the challenge isn't just to try to figure out what he's doing. Sometimes the challenge is to trust that he's doing anything at all. What do we do when we find ourselves in that place? How can we respond to God's invitation to trust him more fully when we find ourselves wondering if he's even still there? If that is where you find yourself today or at some point, please, my prayer for you is that you will be able to remember the cross. When God isn't doing what we expect or hope, remember the cross. When God is moving in ways that you don't understand, or when you're wondering if God is moving at all, remember the cross. Because without a doubt, the pinnacle of God acting in strange and unexpected ways happened on that Friday. What happened on the cross was undeniably God's most unexpected move ever. No one could see what God was doing that day. It was only Jesus who dared to trust that in all that darkness, God was still God. God was still in charge. And he was still doing something. Only the one who was dying on the cross dared to hope that the whole thing would end up far better than anyone could possibly imagine. Had we been there, along with the rest of Jesus' followers, we would have expected, longed for, prayed for God to save Jesus. And along with them, when that didn't happen, we'd probably have given up and felt like God had failed us. Had we been there, we wouldn't have been able to see that in not saving Jesus that day, God was actually saving us. The cross was God's most unexpected move. It was a move that dealt with all of the forces of darkness that try to obstruct God's plans for us and our world. It was a move in which God allowed death to come because he knew that it was the only way that death in all of its insidious forms could finally be defeated. It was a move in which God was securing an unimaginably good future for everyone who seeks it. On the cross, God was acting in the most unexpected way imaginable. And so we strangely call that Friday good, because what happened that day proves that we can absolutely trust God, even when he acts in ways we might never expect and cannot possibly understand. Praise be to God. Amen. Bless me now.
I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to
Hello, and please join me in these, the prayers of the people. God of all, triune God, we pray for your loving embrace for Diane, Fiona, and Adele, your wisdom and guidance for our board, elders, and for all who are connected to St. Stephen's, and for all your holy people. We pray for an outpouring of your love. We pray to you, O Lord. We pray for all who believe and who do not yet believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one. We pray to you, O Lord. We pray for the mission of St. Stephen's and your church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. We pray to you, O Lord. We pray for those who do not yet believe and for those who have lost their faith, that they may receive the light of the gospel. We pray to you, O Lord. We pray for the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples. We pray to you, O Lord. We pray for those in positions of public trust, especially for our mayor and council, our MLA and provincial government, and our MP and federal government, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person. We pray to you, O Lord. We pray for all who live and work in our communities of Qualicum Beach and the Oceanside area. We pray to you, O Lord. We pray for a blessing upon all human labor and for the right use of the riches of creation, that the world may be freed from poverty, famine, and disaster. We pray to you, O Lord. We pray for the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected. We pray to you, O Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, you tell us not to be afraid of what the future holds, not to worry about tomorrow, but you know how difficult we find it to heed your words. For we worry about so many things, our families, our friends, our circumstances. Some worries big, most worries small. We come before you this day with these big and small worries, and with confidence we know we can lay them all at your feet. We bring our big worries about health and happiness and security for ourselves and for our loved ones. We bring big worries about the world we live in and its future existence as we continue to fail to address so many ecological problems. We bring big worries about the way people in our world are treated as less than human, exploited, tortured, helpless, and abused. Father God, we know that you are concerned with every aspect of our lives, so we also bring the little things that concern us, the worries which keep us up at night, the worries which only you know. Living God, reach out to all those for whom the future brings fear and uncertainties. Assure them that you are with them, even when that future seems dark and circumstances feel like they are spiraling out of control. Remind them that you are able to transform even the bleakest of situations, bring health and wholeness. Lord, we make our prayers in faith, for we know that your Spirit is at work in our world, making all things new. Mighty God, to you belong the mysteries of the universe. You transform shepherds into kings, the smallest seeds into magnificent trees, and hardened hearts into loving ones. Bless us with your life-giving Spirit, recreate in us your image, and shape us to your purposes through Jesus Christ. God in community, holy in one, hear us as we pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For all of the ways that you have given to the life and work of this congregation this week, we thank you. Please join me now as we pray to dedicate those gifts to God's mission. Gracious God, bless and transform all that we offer, our faltering steps, our brokenness, our hope, our risking, our hearts, that your covenant may be written on our hearts, and we may be a blessed and transformed covenant people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'm Patty Maynard, and I'd like to share some exciting news about the St. Stephen's Pastoral Care Ministry. Over the past 6 months, a small team, Louise McCormick, Beth Clark Gilman, Reverend Diane, and myself have been praying, training, and meeting to revitalize an important part of our lives as members of Christ's family at St. Stephen's. Other members of the team that have been trained and called to share in this important work are Reverend Foster Freed and Andy Gilman. The pastoral care ministry involves sustaining folks through prolonged difficulty or immediate need, enabling the journey of healing and wholeness, considering the process of reconciliation with God, self, and others, or offering guidance about other resources and difficult perspectives on issues of concern. Pastoral care can take the form of listening, encouraging, visiting, mentoring, prayer, comforting, advocacy, and offering practical help. At times in our lives, when we are searching for help and guidance and a listening ear, it is important to know that resources exist within our faith community to help. We are praying that folks that have a need or a concern on their hearts will feel comfortable reaching out for pastoral care. It is a gift freely given that can ease burdens and transform lives. If you are in need of pastoral care or know of someone that could benefit from this important ministry, please contact Beth Clark Gilman, and she will put you in touch with someone that can help. Her contact information can be found in the bulletin. You can also reach out to Louise, Reverend Diane, or myself if you have any questions. Thank you.
Two announcements for us this week, both coming out of our education ministry. The first is the education ministry is doing a survey. We are trying to get a sense of where the congregation's at and what are the kinds of things that you're looking for that could help you to deepen, to grow your faith. And so it's a very simple survey done online. If you need a paper copy, you can pick one of those up in the office. But it's easy to access online through the church website. It's been noted in your emailed announcements. There's a link there for it. If you would take a few moments just to answer that survey for us, it would really help us as we plan educational programming in the coming months here at St. Stephen's. And speaking of educational programming, we've gone ahead to plan one for this spring. Right after Easter, we are going to start another Tuesday congregational study, open to anyone who wants to come. We'll meet on Tuesday evenings here to watch a video together and have some discussions. The subject of our study is going to be the series, The Chosen. It is a series that streams on television and in various ways, and it is about the life of Jesus. It is dramatized, so while it includes absolutely biblical information, it also sets those stories we're so familiar with in their historical and cultural context. And that really helps to flesh things out and to see Jesus in a more real light. We are excited about this study. Phil and I are going to lead it together. We're excited about that as well. And so we hope that we'll see lots of people out for that. If you would like to take it and be part of that, we're asking you to let the office know just so that we know kind of numbers for our planning. If you have any questions about it, please feel free to contact me. Call the church office or email, and I'd be happy to answer any of your questions. Friends, just as God's word was sent into the world to heal and redeem, God sends you into the world this day to be light and love, healing and hope. So go now and be light in our world. And may the grace of God, who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer, come upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't thank you. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver light.